Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, broadcasting from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
There's a Senate hearing today in Washington focusing on name, image, and likeness rights for student athletes. James Wiseman's name came up. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, my next guest played parts of 14 seasons in the NBA, won a world championship with the Celtics in 2008. It's Kendrick Perkins. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
These days, Perk is obviously an NBA insider for Radio.com Sports. He's brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Perk, it's Gary Parish. What's up, man?
Hey, fellas, what's going on? How y'all doing today, man?
Everything's good in my world, and I want to applaud you for becoming one of the biggest national supporters of Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. You've got him as maybe a top five point guard. You got the Grizzlies as maybe a top 10 team in the NBA. What has made you fall in love with the Grizz point guard and the Grizz in general?
Well, first, let me touch on Ja Morant. One thing about this kid is that he's very mature. I'm not watching him for as what he put up number-wise. I'm watching, you know, because he's going to do that. He's an efficient point guard. When you see a point guard that's, he finished the game, he shoots 8 for 12, and, you know, you'll find it, and he's dropping dimes, and he's, you know, making all the right plays or whatever the case may be, that's fine. But when I look at his leadership, I'm watching him the way he's when you watch Ja Morant, the way he's communicating on defense, the way he's in the right position, the way he's making winning plays. Winning plays meaning things that don't show up in the stat sheet. The way he's turned that Memphis team around, the culture. We knew he was going to be special, but we didn't know he was going to come in and be this good this soon. And for him to have Memphis at the 8th seed in the West, and I guess what are they, 1 or 2 games over 500 right now?
Like one.
That's beyond impressive. And his leadership skills is what gets me more than anything. I know he's talented as hell, but if somebody could sit up here and name 5 point guards for us mentally and physically that is better than Ja Morant right now, and you put his age, that he's a rookie, and everything, you could name, give me 5 point guards that's better than him, then, hey, good luck to you, because in my book, he's top 5. And then when you look at this Memphis team, they're very mature. They're well coached. By the way, you got to give a lot of credit to the coaching staff over there, because they're putting this team in position to be successful. The team has bought into their system. And when you look at a guy like Dylan Brooks, who I love to death, he don't get enough credit. Yeah, he get credit for the 20 points that he could give you on any given night or 20 plus points, but you know, a lot of people don't watch Memphis, so they don't see him the feistiness and the tenacity that he plays with on the defensive end. See, I watched him about maybe 3 weeks ago when they played the Houston Rockets, and I watched him get into James Harden, and he wasn't afraid of embarrassment. And when you see a kid that young, only in his, what, second year, that's not afraid to get up and guard James and not afraid to get put on the highlight, that speaks volumes. And then you have Jaren Jackson, you have Clark, you have Big Jonas Valanciunas, who's down there banging and having a phenomenal year right now. When you have that core piece of guys out there going and competing every night, and they're not just playing for stats, these guys are playing winning and inspiring basketball. and you could tell they all in for one another. They got each other back, whether it's through social media, whether they ready to fight and go to war with each other outside of the court, and it's great to see.
I'm talking to Kendrick Perkins, spent part of 14 seasons in the NBA. He's a world champion, and he's a Radio.com Sports NBA insider right now. One of the things about your tweet that stood out was that it wasn't just that Ja Morant got a triple-double, but completely, in your words, dominated the fourth quarter. You've been in that league. You know what it's like when a team, whether it's your team or somebody else's team, has got a guy who can be a killer in the fourth quarter with the ball in his hands. How special is it when Ja Morant is able to already do that at the age of 20?
It's very special. And you know what I hate? The one thing I hated about the other night when he had the triple-double, it overshadowed what he'd done throughout this whole season, this first part of this NBA season. Because if you watch, if anybody watched the Memphis Grizzlies play, it's been times where I see Ja Morant struggle through the first three quarters, and all of a sudden this is not his first time taking over the fourth quarter. Like, he's done this in several games this season. Whether it's making the right passes and, you know, having guys get wide open threes, wide open layups, or him taking it to the basket himself or knocking down big shots. So, you know, I love that he got his first triple-double, but I hate because they was like, oh, yeah, he just completely took over the fourth quarter. Well, this is not the first time he's done this. He's done this more than probably 10 times this season, and it just went unnoticed. And that's what makes this kid special. And like I said, when you see this maturity level in this 20-year-old, it's like, wow, man, the sky's the limit for this kid. And he's just one of my favorites.
So the Grizzlies are in eighth right now in the Western Conference standings. They got a 2.5-game lead over Portland. But obviously, Portland's got Damian Lillard. They've been playing better lately. Do you think the Grizzlies can hold on to that eighth spot?
I do. I do. Although Portland has been playing great, I do think that the Memphis Grizzlies hold on to the eighth spot. Listen, they want to win. This is not fool's gold. This team is coming out every night wanting to win ball games. And I just, as good as Damian Lillard is, and I know Portland has a lot of veterans or whatever the case may be, I just don't see them catching up to Memphis. Memphis is not going to slack off. Like, you're going to have to really beat this team to beat them, man. They're coming out every night, and they're trying to get better. Like, they went from two games below 500 to now they're one or two games above 500. And who knows, they might jump five games above 500. They might finish in the seventh spot. You never know about this team. Like, to me, they're just steady climbing the ladder, and they're only going to continue to get better unless they have injuries. And I'm knocking on wood. That's the only way I see this Memphis team not making the playoffs.
I'm talking to Radio.com Sports NBA insider Kendrick Perkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I want to switch gears with you because I know at the trade deadline, not everybody was enthusiastic about Golden State's decision to go out and add Andrew Wiggins. You were. You thought it was going to work because now he's in a situation where he doesn't have to be the star. He just has to be a sidekick to Steph and Klay and Draymond. And I know he's not playing with Steph and Klay right now, but you know he's been playing well for Golden State. Tell me why you like Andrew Wiggins in a Warriors uniform.
Yeah, I do. I love him because for the simple fact he don't have to be the number one pick, right? So we know we've seen that he hasn't lived up to the expectations of quote unquote our number one pick. Although this kid is averaging 19.7 points a game for his career and shooting over 46% from the field. But my thing is that when he gets under this Golden State culture, this is what he needed. Now he could just be a Harrison Barnes 2.0 because they have the stars in Klay and Steph, so he don't have to worry about being a star. And I just think this is a great situation for him. Like Steve Kerr, Ron Adams, and Mike Brown, I think it's going to be great for the Kings.
One of the big stories in the NBA right now is the Toronto Raptors and this long winning streak, Fred VanVleet being a big part of it. Are you surprised they've been able to hold it together as well as they have after Kawhi Leonard left in free agency?
No, I'm not. To be honest, before the season started, I picked Toronto to make the finals. Huh. Just because they have experience, man. And when you have experience along with talent, length, and athleticism, that speaks volumes. You know, they have – what they have about 7 to 8 guys that return from their championship team. So they're not afraid of the moment. They're well coached. When you talk about Coach Nick Nurse, they're well coached, like extremely well coached. And when you look at guys, you just never know who steps up for them night in and night out. One night it may be Larry. One night it may be Van Vliet. One night it may be Siakam. One night it may be Serge Ibaka, Norman Powell. Like, they have their deep and their experience, and those guys play tough and hard every possession. So I'm not surprised one bit.
I'm wrapping up here with Kendrick Perkins, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Last thing before I let you go, Perk, I mentioned that you won a world championship in 2008. Obviously, the opponent in that series was the Lakers, led by Kobe Bryant. I haven't talked to you since the tragic death of that NBA icon. I've watched you talk about it on The Jump and other places, but you know, it's been a few weeks now, and yet it really still just does not make sense or seem real that Kobe Bryant is gone at the age of 41. Just when you look back on those battles in two different NBA finals, what will you remember most about competing against Kobe Bryant?
Man, it's so many stories, but I just remember Kobe for his competitive nature. And I remember just in 2010, and this just goes to show you his willpower and that Mamba mentality that he had. In 2010, I tore my ACL, and so I had to watch it from the sideline. And I just remember in Game 7 of the finals, everyone was tired, from KG to Kobe to Paul to Ray. Everyone was just, you know, it's the last game of the season. There's no more games after this. This is for all the marbles, and everybody's, I'm talking about laying it all out on the line, everybody in the Staples Center just standing up. And Kobe actually shot 6 for 24, right? He shot 6 for 24 from the field. But what nobody knows is he had 18 rebounds. Like, he dominated the paint. He knew that in order for him to beat us, that he needed to go in and they needed to control the paint. And he had 18 rebounds at the shooting guard position. Like, and he was going up against KG, Big Baby, Rasheed Wallace. Like, it wasn't small guys in this lineup, and he had 18 rebounds. 18. That just goes to show you his willpower. And they out-rebounded us by, I think, by like 12. And that just goes to show you, like, he wanted that win. Forget that he wasn't making shots. He found another way to impact the game and wield his team to victory.
That's a terrific story. That's Kendrick Perkins, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. You can also hear Perk on Scal and Pals. That's available on Radio.com and wherever you find your podcasts. It's great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA from Perk, Brian Scalabrine, Rick Bucher, and more. Just search Scal wherever you find your podcast. Kendrick, you're the best, man. I know how busy you are. Appreciate your time, and I'll catch up with you down the road.
Anytime. Appreciate you too.
All right, brother. I'll see you. That's Kendrick Perkins. Spent 14 seasons in the NBA, world champion in 2008. And, you know, he obviously didn't only compete with Kobe in the regular season like so many did. He, you know, competed against him in the NBA Finals. And I had heard him, Kendrick Perkins, talking about it on The Jump with Rachel Nichols shortly after Kobe's death. And just sort of the importance of, you know, not carrying around grudges, you know, being resentful, trying to make things right. And that, you know, this tragedy has really had an impact on a lot of people's lives. Like, you might remember Kendrick and KD, Kevin Durant, his former teammate, like, got into it on social media, you know, at some point over the past month or so. And it got pretty uncomfortable because they were both taking some seriously personal shots at each other. And after Kobe's death, one of the things Kendrick did, as everybody was discussing, you know, their memories of Kobe and the impact he made and his iconic status, you know, as a professional athlete, not only in this country, but in the world, like, Kendrick reached out to Kevin Durant and was just like, yo, man, you know, I don't know if I'll ever talk to you again. And I didn't want that to be the last time we ever communicated. I didn't want that to be, you know, the thing that, you know, that back and forth on social media, I didn't want it to ever make you think that we got into a little thing, but I love you. And I just want to make sure you know that. And because you never know if this will be the last time you talk to somebody. And so I thought that was interesting and just one of a million examples of the impact that Kobe's death has had and still continues to be a topic of conversation in this country. Feels like every single day, like a day doesn't pass where you don't see a new video being tweeted of Kobe or, you know, a new news story, an update on the investigation into the crash, or Vanessa Bryant is now being more active on Instagram. So she's posting more regularly. And each time it's just the saddest thing. I don't know if you saw the post from, I guess it was yesterday, but she sort of acknowledges how she's going through this grieving process. And, you know, the emotions are all over the place. You go from being really, really sad to being really, really angry. Like, this didn't have to happen. It was an avoidable tragedy. And, you know, now she's dealing with a situation where her life will never be the same. Her daughter's lives will never be the same because of this avoidable tragedy. And so she pretty publicly acknowledged, you know, she goes from one place to the other pretty quick. You know, it's not all just sadness. She goes through incredible periods of anger. Like, why did this happen? This could have been avoided. And so, again, every time she posts, makes any sort of comment, it's just a reminder that, I don't think any of us will ever forget when we first heard the just incredible news, just the saddest story. Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven other people dying in a helicopter crash in Calabasas. And so it obviously had a big impact on Kendrick Perkins, and that's why I wanted to ask him about his memories of Kobe Bryant as well. There was a Senate hearing in Washington today on name, image, and likeness rights. Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, was there. James Wiseman's name was brought up. I'll tell you about that next.
Hey, it's Brad Carson, and I'm a huge fan of Old Dominic Distillery. It's right here, downtown in Memphis. Great whiskey, an amazing location, and Old Dominic is a special place in downtown Memphis. It's worth taking the time to check out. I first discovered it at an event I went to down there, and it's the only distillery in Memphis, basically the only one in this side of West Tennessee. And the distillery, pretty fun to take a tour through, grab a tasting, hit the gift shop, hit the patio upstairs. It overlooks the river with great sight lines, and you can see the bridge. It's beautiful. Old Dominic. And if you're like me, try their cocktail menu, the Old Dominic Toddy, the Memphis Vodka, or do the one I did the last time I was there, the Honey Bell Citrus Vodka. Oh, one other one I want to add is the Hewling Station Bourbon. You got to try that too. All mastermind by my friend Alex Castle, Old Dominic's master distiller right here in Memphis. Bar manager Drew Wooten creates these outstanding cocktails and offers a menu second to none. Old Dominic hours are Wednesday 4 in the afternoon till 10 p.m., Thursdays from noon till 10 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays from noon till 11 p.m. and Sundays from noon till 9 p.m. Try it out. Old Dominic Distillery.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.